instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to start a brand new series here today that I just started preaching yesterday at Island Community Church, and it is a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians. So we'll let this play here Monday and Tuesday. If you'd like a copy of it, you can go to WGODradio.com. You'll find the link there. You can email me. I'll send it to you. Also, we have a new YouTube page, Island Community Church, and these sermons are uploaded on there, as well as the Wednesday night Bible studies. So I encourage you, get into the Word of God, spend time in the Word. Man, I'll tell you what, God is moving in our church, and when you let Him move in you, when we're reading His Word, He does great and wonderful things on the inside of us. So, okay, let's get into this Word now. We'll let this opening serve as an opening on Tuesday as well. And here we go with an introduction to Ephesians. Okay, does everyone have a handout for today? Do you need a handout? It was in the bulletin. If you need one, it's got all the scripture references. Starting a new book here today. If you notice on this handout, I'm going to give you a word or two about each one of these on this list. So if you're the kind of person that likes to write, maybe we'll add a little bit to that list here as we go through it. Now again, embarking on a new series here, we're going to go through the book of Ephesians verse by verse. So let's look at the background of this letter first. So in order to do that, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, that's where we're going to pick it up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Acts. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Now it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not even heard as to whether there is a Holy Spirit." So he said to them, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." Ha! 12 men. They started with about 12 men. That's more than they had here at Island when I got here. Sue McDonald here and was one of the original bricklayers of this building. Verse 8, "So he went up into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." All right, so this church was started as Paul spent 3 months there. And Paul loved this group and the good people at Ephesus. Unlike the harsher letter to the church at Corinth, where he spent some 2 years, or the church in Galatia, who were considering permanently going back to Judaism. We read that Paul started a Bible school here in Ephesus, Acts 19:9. We read of this event happening also, verse 13 of the same chapter. "Then certain vagabond Jews exorcists took it upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Can you imagine that? What a funny scene. Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed. And they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The NIV says it gave them, this demon gave them such a beating that they ran out of that house shrieking, naked. Verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks that dwelt at Ephesus. And fear fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. These are the kind of things that was happening in Ephesus here. Paul, these guys were tearing this town upside down, or I should say right side up. Look at all these great events. Here's some more. This text continues, verse 19. I guess that'd be Acts 19:19. Many of them also, which practiced magic, or some translations say black magic, they brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and they found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Now, you know, any time that the word of God grows mightily and prevails, you know there's a stinking old devil that's not far behind. Verse 28 tells us the residents of Ephesus were full of wrath, and the whole city was full of confusion, and they took Paul's companions, dragged them into the marketplace, ready to kill them. Now, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, when the uproar had ceased, Paul departed and went to Macedonia. Now, not much longer from this event, Paul returned to Ephesus, verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I've shown you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house." Look at what he taught them. Verse 21, testifying both to Jews and the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Same message today, 2,000 years later. Repentance towards the one you've sinned against, God, and faith towards your life preserver, Jesus Christ, the man in the glory. Same message. He goes on, verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24, catch Paul's attitude, and may it be contagious to all of us. He says, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself. None of what things? Trouble, sickness, persecution, stonings, beatings, imprisonment, being treated like a dog, shipwreck. He says, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. What a great mindset. That's where we need to be. Remember, he passed the John 12:25 test. Those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life will keep it unto life eternal. Right? That's where we need to be. That's our end result. That's what we're looking for at the end of this walk, is to have that kind of mindset. Those who love their life will lose it. proverbially speaking, you know what I mean. Those who hate their life will keep it. He said, so that I might finish my race or course with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I love that. Testify to the good news of the grace of God. Think how twisted this is. At the mere mention of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God causes people to flip out and causes a person their life. Telling someone out here today that God loves them makes people angry and furious, doesn't it? I mean, that's what these guys were killed for. They went city to city telling people that God loves them. That's what he died for. The most famous verse in all the world. God so what? That he gave his only begotten son. He died for that. The message is God loves you. You see, he has everyone in a fog here. He's deceived the whole world. You're upset. Think about it. You're upset that somebody loves you. What gives? You've been deceived. You've been deceived. You've been deceived. When you're upset that someone loves you, you've been deceived by someone that hates you. Think about it. You're mad that someone loves you. That's not normal. But Satan's deceived you. God wants to clear that smog and haze away from you today. That's what he does here in this house, and that's what he will do here today. You will think clearly for the next 40 minutes in this house today. That's good news. With all of the evil and the corruption and the lies outside of this door, you're going to think and hear and see clearly here this morning. Let's read a little more of Paul's relations with the Ephesians. Same chapter, Acts 20, right? Verse 27. Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You'd think after 3 years, these guys wouldn't get tired of this, huh? For 3 years, what does he do? And he's talking to believers, not unbelievers. You guys would get tired of me warning you every year. He goes again, Esposito, warning again. Right? Warns everyone, night and day. So when you come back to the Sunday night service, I'm going to warn you again. Sunday morning, Sunday night, when you come in on Wednesday, what's on the subject tonight? Well, I figured I'd warn you guys for an hour. What gives? Either I'm crazy or we've got it wrong. Answer is, we've got it wrong. And then, with tears. Man, you get tired of this cat crying every week. Right? Every week. But that's always killed me. He's talking to believers. Why warn? What good do I have to warn all of you? I still don't have the answer to that. Other than always be looking for his return. They didn't know any of these verses. There was no Bible back then. Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those which are sanctified. For I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my own necessities and to them that were with me. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all cried. They wept freely, and they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that she spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. So can you picture that? This took place on a beach somewhere. This was the last time they would ever see their friend Paul of Tarsus again. That's the background of these people that he's writing to. These guys were close. Now, Ephesus would be a pretty famous city. Not long after this, after Paul left, we read this. Paul telling his young protege, Timothy. He said, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus and charge those there that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which just cause disputes. Paul installed Timothy as the pastor. 25 years later, the apostle John himself moved to Ephesus and was the bishop there at Ephesus. So it's a pretty famous place. Right after, well, I guess about the same time, the Lord Jesus himself dictates a letter to the pastor there, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? Remember we looked at that? The church that left her first love? All right, there you got it. There you have it. The church at Ephesus. Now, not long after Paul prayed with the brothers on the beach, Paul was in prison, as he just gave witness to, remember? He said, the Holy Spirit says that chains await me wherever I go. And that indeed, of course, came to pass. While he was in prison, he wrote four letters known as prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and a letter to a slave owner whose name was Philemon. So that's the time frame here. Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars. And only because they were ignorant of their wealth. So Paul begins by describing in chapters 1 through 3 the contents of their, what I call, their heavenly bank account. And here it is on the handout as well. I don't know how much money you have at Wells Fargo or Bank of America, but here's what you have on deposit in your heavenly bank account. Let's call it the King Jesus Savings and Loan. You've got an account there. Here's what you own. Now, let's follow this list. I'm going to give you a word or two. If you feel like writing it afterwards, by all means. Adoption. This is your heavenly bank account. Adoption. I would add to that as a son. Acceptance. I would add to that in the beloved. Redemption. Through his blood. Forgiveness of sin. Wisdom from on high. Inheritance as a son or daughter. The seal of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Life eternal. Grace God shed it on thee. Like that song they hate to sing so much in this country now. Citizenship. A member of the kingdom. And in case that's not enough, Paul hits you with this one. Every spiritual blessing. That is God's best. God's best is in the first Jesus savings and loan. It's in your spiritual bank account. Every spiritual blessing. Don't believe it that any Christian is better than you or some Christian's got more of God than you have. You are complete in him. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. No Christian is better than you. No Christian has more of God than you do. Nobody. Every spiritual blessing. This is shocking to these guys. Maybe to you too. Maybe you just don't know it. Satan doesn't want you to know it. That you are a spiritual giant. And no one can harm you and take you out until your work here is done. All right. There we have it. Well, have a nice day, everyone, and we'll see you back next week. Thank you, Shah. I'm glad no one believes me when I say that. Think I'm going to let you go at 11:15 without looking at one verse? Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus. All right, now, he's in jail now, writing this. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like a Christmas card, right? The little rectangles that are on a present. To, from, to those faithful in Christ Jesus. In Ephesus, from God the Father and God the Son. See, Paul's just writing it, but the greeting is from God himself to those that are in this church. Now, immediately, right off the bat, verse 3, he's praising God. And from there, we learn something about our heavenly bank account. He's going to show how we have every one of these things as we go through these three chapters. And even more than that, we learned that we even have a bank account stored up in heaven. Blessed be, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, what's it say? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies or in the heavenly places in Christ. See, there are material blessings and there are spiritual blessings. God has blessed you with spiritual blessings that you just can't see. And better yet, every spiritual blessing. Meaning, look out, world. All of God's best he's given to you. And I believe there's a time in your life where you could operate in any one of these spiritual gifts as God sees fit. Any one of them. God has given you, you just can't see it. Every spiritual blessing is yours.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Worship you alone.